Please stand if you are able, and let us sing our hymn, "Oh, the Deep, Deep Love of Jesus." It is found on page number 211 in your red hymnal, if you choose to sing along from there. Oh, the deep, deep love of Jesus. Seated.
I wish I had had Nancy's book when my two were little. Maybe it would have worked. I sang to my two children trying to put them to sleep every night, but I either sang Kumbaya or Come By Here or songs I just made up, and it never worked. I assume that was the songs and not the voice. And didn't you like it, as we can do as adults? You hear that great story, and one of them wants to ask about flushing the toilet. Sometimes we don't always get the right picture there either. But if you heard that, make sure, mothers, that you hide your watches or anything else when you go back home. Let's pray. Gracious Lord God, we thank you for the blessing of this time of teaching, Lord, to delve into your word. What a blessing it is. And we pray for your guidance, and we pray for your strength, and to live it out. In Christ we pray, amen. I do want to preface the teaching this morning. I was at a pastor's conference over in Chagrin Falls at Parkside Church, part of Monday, all day Tuesday, and part of Wednesday, and I listened to six different 45-minute sermons. So if you have reservations for Mother's Day somewhere, you may want to call them real quick and give them 15 more minutes, okay? We'll see what all I learned at the conference and pass on to you today and in the coming weeks. Proverbs 31. Proverbs 31 records the sayings of a king. You can read that right there in the scriptures. King Lemuel. That's all we know about the king. We know his name. He is not listed in any of the list of kings of Israel or of Judah. We don't know anything other than the sayings he has passed on. And it's probably very fitting that we don't know anything else about the king, because this chapter is not about the king himself, for the material is about the lessons taught to him by his mother. Proverbs 31, verse 1, provides 2 points about the sayings of this king. First, the sayings are described as an oracle or an utterance, depending upon which version of the scriptures you're looking at. An oracle or an utterance, an inspired utterance. And from scripture, when there's an oracle or an utterance, it means that these are the sayings of the Lord. This is instruction from God himself. And the second point is the sayings were taught to the king by his mother. Similar to the way when you look at 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5, where Paul is writing about how he knew of Timothy's faith through his grandmother and through his mother. So 2 Timothy 1, 5, and here in Proverbs 31, we can see that there is a Jewish mother who is passing on her faith to her children, in this case, to her son, the king. Passing on knowledge, fear of the Lord, and the wisdom of God. And then in verses 2 through 9, the king's mother offers him important warnings for him to be aware of as he carries out his kingly duties. In verses 2 and 3, he's taught to not spend his time and energy enjoying women. You know, when you're a young lad, women can get you in trouble. Did you know that to be the case? Now, is that just for young men, or can men cause problems for girls when they're young? Oh, wow, I heard a yes. But the aspect here is not to get caught up with all the secular aspects of those relationships, because they can cause us to lose track of what the king was supposed to be doing. And then in verses 4 through 7, the king is told to refrain from drinking alcohol so that he is always able to administer justice. The mother is talking to her son, the king, about living with chastity and intemperance. Instead of letting the power and the prestige of being king go to his head, the mother is warning the king, instructing him to be a king of wisdom and a king of justice. For in verses 8 and 9, she teaches him the responsibility of being a king, to champion the rights of the poor and the rights of the needy. And that's who Jesus came to teach and to save, was the poor. Remember that saying about, you know, it's not the healthy that needs the doctor? He came to save us from our sins. These verses underscore the role that mothers play in the faith education of their children. Following those 9 introductory verses of motherly instruction, different Bible translations give various titles to the poem contained in Proverbs 31, verses 10 through 31. 5 such titles include the wife of noble character, the virtuous woman or the virtuous wife, an ode to a capable wife, the woman of character and virtue. And I told my future daughter-in-law I wouldn't bring this up, but I'm going to. She'll get used to that, only because I am officiating at 3 weddings on May 21st, I think I have the dates right, May 27th and July 16th, and all 3 couples are here. So the 5th possible title is Searching for a Woman of Character and Virtue. And I think the three men of those young couples have done very well in their search for a woman of character and virtue. That wasn't so bad, right? Okay. I'm getting her ready for when I get to do the meditation at their wedding. And while it's true and accurate that these verses lift up the character and the virtue of a wise woman, the wisdom offered in these verses are just as applicable for men as they are for women. So it's biblical wisdom that we are all called to develop in our lives. The 22 verses of Proverbs 31, 10 through 31, are written in the form of a poem. And each verse begins with the word that begins with a successive letter of the Hebrew alphabet. So if it was written in English, it would be from A to Z. In the Hebrew language, each verse starts with a word that begins with a successive letter of the alphabet, from Aleph to Tav. And such a construction of an acrostic poem was twofold. One, it helped them memorize the poem. It helped them memorize. Remember, they didn't go to their bookshelf and pull off the Bible back in that day. They didn't have access to the written word. And it was passed from generation to generation by memorization. And it was the custom on Friday night, as the Sabbath began, at the table for fathers and children to recite this poem. And their memorization was helped by going through the alphabet as they shared each verse. The other aspect about the poem in an acrostic is it gave order to the subject. And it kind of carries out the, quote, ABCs of wisdom. Proverbs 31 is a very insightful look at the role and the significance of women in the Hebrew household. A wife was not merely the property of the husband, as many believe, but a wife could be a responsible head of the household and venture into business as well. The poem was traditionally shared over and over so that women and men could grow up knowing biblical wisdom. Collectively, the 22 verses form a hymn to Lady Wisdom. Wisdom in the Hebrew language is a feminine noun, and so it's regarded as Lady Wisdom. And such wisdom points to a life of balance, wisely managing the home, wisely managing any work, and keeping charity in mind at all times. As I thought about the titles of the poem and this summary of the poem, I found myself thinking about the women in my life. Who were those women that impacted my faith, that helped me develop that strong relationship with Jesus Christ? And before I share my list with you, I want to give you a few seconds, 15:30, when's your reservation? To think about your own life. Who are those women that impacted your life of faith? Who are those women that you can call to mind, that you can thank for how they taught you about God, how they taught you about Jesus? Take a few moments and think about those impactful women in your life. And hopefully you can continue to think about the women that you thought of or others throughout this day. But as I spent time Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, even this morning, studying and reading Proverbs 31 in this 22-verse poem, there were eight women that came to my mind that I share in a chronological order, chronologically because the order that I met them in my life. So number one would obviously be my mother. Number two would be my grandmother, Chrisman. Number three, my grandmother, St. Clair. Grandmother Chrisman lived in Ohio. I got to spend more time with her. I got to spend weeks with her during the summer. And one of the greatest memories I have of her, whenever I visited, we went to church. She went to the Church of Christ in town, and we went Sunday morning, and we went Sunday evening, and we went Wednesday evening. And most of those travels were by walking to church. And I'd swear it was 5 miles from her home. It's probably only a mile, but she didn't drive. And so we walked. It was the time at church, but it was also the walks home when she got, what did you learn today? What did you learn this evening? My grandmother, St. Clair, lived in New York, and I didn't get to visit with her as much, but I really didn't know her that well until probably the last 10 years of her life, when as pastor, I got to visit, and I got to sit by her bedside 3 weeks before she died and the week of her death. And I learned from my grandmother in those moments her deep, deep faith. And as I've gone through some of my mother's things, I've come across some of the devotionals or some of the works that my grandmother wrote. And so she was very impactful. My Aunt Doris, my sixth grade Sunday school teacher, Mrs. Ethel Maring, only teacher I remember, but I had her for 2 years leading up to my confirmation experience. My senior high youth pastor, Reverend Marty Swan. For those of you that have any history at Pilgrim Hills, probably the most influential besides my mother was Linda Ditzler, who was the female half of the managerial couple at Pilgrim Hills. And then I couldn't come up with the eighth woman in my life that impacted me the most and still does. When she was sitting here in the first, I kind of lost it at 8 o'clock, so I didn't want to save her name, but my wife obviously is pretty impactful. I want you to keep the women that you thought of in mind as we look at these passages. That's what I found helpful as I prepared to share with you this morning. Verses 10 through 31 are broken down into 8 stanzas, and I want to just hit some of the highlights. I encourage you to have a Bible open if you want to follow along. I think at the conference there might have been 4,800 pastors present. No scriptures were on the screen, and they always began, okay, turn to, and I didn't have my Bible with me. I had my phone, and it was, I got used to using my Bible on the phone app. And, you know, I looked around me, and not every pastor opened up a Bible either. If you have a Bible, great. If you don't want to open up and just listen, if that's how you do it, that's okay too. Proverbs 31:10, a wife of noble character, who can find? That's a question. She is worth far more than rubies. Her husband has full confidence in her and lacks nothing of value. She brings him good, not harm, all the days of her life. A wife of noble character is not easily found. And when she is found, she is a treasure. She is a treasure. She possesses all the virtues, the honor, and the strength to do the things that the poem sets forth. And as Proverbs 31, this is a summary of all the wisdom shared throughout the entire book of Proverbs. Verse 13, she selects wool and flax and works with eager hands. She is like the merchant ships, bringing her food from afar. She gets up while it is still dark. She provides food for her family and portions for her servant girls. The industrial pursuit of this woman of the household. It's a large household and requires great supervision of many different aspects of the home. She's good at making choices. She's good at working with her hands. The merchant ships, she provides food for the days to come, not only for her family, but also this sense of charity for the servant girls in the home. She brings a continual supply of abundance. Now, when I cook food, I want to have double the portion. My wife of wisdom always provides enough because she knows. She brings a continual supply of abundance. Verse 16, she considers a field and she buys it. Out of her earnings, she plants a vineyard. She sets about her work vigorously. Her arms are strong for her tasks. She sees that her trading is profitable and her lamp does not go out at night. The lamp does not go out at night. Our phrase would, she's burning the midnight oil. Now, when I'm thinking about these verses, I didn't share this list, but I'm also thinking about women of this congregation who have impacted me from these things. And my wife likes to get up early and get about her day, and come 9:30, 10 o'clock at night, she's ready for bed. As I was studying these verses and thinking of Lynn, a lady walked into the church office this week, and we were talking about how to get everything done, and I just stay up later, is what that woman said. She'd stay up till midnight to get it done. We each, you know, you get to do your own thing, your wisdom, your personality, but you get it done. You manage it in your way, and this woman has the wisdom to oversee the order of her day. She does not purchase in foolishness. She does not go into debt, but she manages the household. Verse 19, in her hand she holds the distaff and grasps the spindle with her fingers. The aspect of going out to Souder Village and watching the spinning and the looms and those kind of things. She opens her arms to the poor and extends her hands to the needy. When it snows, she has no fear for her household, for all of them are clothed in scarlet. Clothed in scarlet, that they're dressed in red, so when the snow comes, she can see who her family is. How much snow do you think there is in the Middle East? They're not really hidden. The word for scarlet could also mean that she provides a second cloak for her family. She takes care of them. There is domestic activity, and she steps into taking care of every aspect. She is not lazy in any sense of the word. Verse 22, she makes coverings for her bed. She is clothed in fine linen and purple. Her husband is respected at the city gate, where he takes a seat among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them and supplies the merchants with sashes. She is industrious. And clothing wasn't the issue, but not being charitable was. It wasn't just a matter of having clothing for her family. She had to have charity to share with others. And as the men, the elders, gathered at the city gate, as the elders assembled, the husband of this woman was well known because of the organized home. The organized home. She was engaged in honest trade, which was common for the women of the day. Verse 25, she is clothed with strength and dignity. She can laugh at the days to come. She speaks with wisdom, and faithful instruction is on her tongue. She watches over the affairs of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Wisdom and prosperity go hand in hand. She is diligent and she is prudent in her work, and she is confident in facing the future. She can laugh at the days to come. She's not anxious. She has no worries. She's prepared in her wisdom for the future. She is wise and gracious in speech. Verse 28 and 29, her children arise, and they call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. Many women do noble things, but you surpass them all. Her work, her merits are recognized. There is a hint for all of us to make sure that we recognize the merits, the good, the blessings of the people in our lives, to thank them and recognize them. Her wisdom inspires praise from her family, who know her best, and they surpass them all. The praise of the husband, who speaks for the rest of the family. And then finally, verses 30 and 31, charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Give her the reward she has earned, and let her works bring her praise at the city gate. The most critical point in verse 30, a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Her wisdom was focused on the Lord. Her wisdom, everything else about her, her looks was fleeting, but her wisdom in the Lord would last. That would not be fleeting. The sense of her wisdom and her character. The closing thought that I share with you is that a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. A person who fears the Lord. Fear means to worship the Lord. Fear means to love the Lord. Fear means to obey the Lord. A woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. May we praise God through our fear and our wisdom of Him. Amen.
Out of love for our Lord, let us give with glad hearts. I invite the ushers forward at this time. Let's pray. Receive these gifts, O Lord, given in love, that they may touch the poor, the needy, and further your kingdom here on earth. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.
Please let us sing the closing hymn at this time. It is "They'll Know We Are Christians by Our Love." It is found on page number 284 in your red hymnal. After we finish the hymn, please remain standing for the spoken benediction, and then we will sing the benediction in song following the spoken benediction. The benediction in song is number 601 in your red hymnal. We are singing only verse 1. It is, "Lord, dismiss us with thy blessing." So let us sing, "They'll Know We Are Christians by Our Love."
Christians, my
Go forth knowing that the Lord watches over your life, for the Lord watches over your coming and going, both now and forevermore. Amen.